Our meditation for this morning will be based in part on our Old Testament reading from Isaiah and his song of praise, but also our gospel and the well-known story of the prodigal son. Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As the story is told, a man really disliked his wife's cat that she had brought with her into the marriage, and so one day he decides to secretly get rid of it. Throwing the cat into his car, he drove a few blocks away and then let it out. Once back home, the smile on his face led his wife to ask him what he was so happy about. He merely replied that it's because he had found such a wonderful woman to marry. Heading into the kitchen, he was suddenly dumbstruck. There was the cat. Figuring he hadn't taken the cat far enough away, he threw it in the back of his car and drove off for about 5 miles before letting it out. Not 20 minutes later, while putzing in his garage, he heard the distinct meowing of his wife's cat, and turning around, there it was. "Enough of this," he thought to himself, and grabbing the cat, took off on a winding car drive through multiple neighborhoods, and eventually abandons the cat in a thick forest so far from home that the man doesn't even know how many miles away he has driven. About an hour later, the man calls his wife, and she asks where he's been. "Never mind that," he says. "Is the cat there?" "Why, yes, she is," the wife answers. "Put her on the phone," the husband replies. "I'm lost." Now, the reason I bothered to tell this little joke, besides the fact that it's funny, is because it contains both of the themes that each of our Old and New Testaments talk about: doing something that we know we shouldn't, and getting lost in the process. And who hasn't ever done that? Think back to when you were young. I'm pretty sure there would be many instances that you could recall where you did something that got your parents angry. For our younger members here, you may only have to think back a week or so ago. Now, I certainly can. Oh, where to begin? A bad report card from school? You know what? Maybe I'll just stop there. We haven't got all morning. But I think we can all relate. Likewise, we could all probably agree that looking back, our parents were perfectly justified in being angry. We did something that disobeyed them. We did something that could have gotten us hurt. We did something that could have led us down a dangerous path or a future we would regret. They didn't want to see us get lost in a world of sin. Now, we haven't got all morning to dredge up all of our past mistakes and sins, but looking back now, most of us will probably agree that we deserve the punishments that we got. Being sent to our rooms, getting grounded and not being able to play with our friends for a week, getting spanked, or worse, or the worst possible punishment of all, no dessert after supper. But besides trying to teach a lesson or correct bad behavior, what was it that our parents really wanted from us? When you were disciplining your own kids, what did you hope their punishment would lead them to do? Probably to hear or to speak those words that we all find so difficult to say out loud: "I'm sorry." But when we did reflect upon our wrongdoing and say those words, the response we got was to be forgiven, was it not? And don't we likewise forgive our own children? Now, we usually still have to suffer the consequence of our actions, but the punishment isn't some continuing action like no ice cream for the rest of one's life. But rather, the punishment is merely intended to lead one to a sense of remorse and an opportunity to change one's actions. If you bother to read the entire Old Testament book of Isaiah, you will hear a lot about the offspring of Abraham straying from the right path that God had wanted and instructed them to travel upon. Over and over again, they would veer into a corrupt form of worship that eventually led to idolatry, They repeatedly fell into sexual perversity. And when God would send his prophets to correct the people, they would be mistreated and often killed. Of course, this all angered God, after all he had done for them. And so, just like our parents disciplined us, and we disciplined our own, God did the same with the nation of Israel. But it wouldn't last forever. In our reading for this morning, we hear about our Lord's promise to turn away from his anger and to forgive his people if they should repent and turn from their sins and return to God. Make no mistake, our sins will provoke God's anger just as the people of Isaiah's time did. But if we are sorrowful, repent, and say we're sorry, he will forgive us. How then could we not say, I will praise you, O Lord, although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my strong. He has become my salvation. When we repent and return to the Lord, when we have strayed and sinned, he will forgive us. He will take us back. He wants us back. No matter what you may have done or how grievously you may have hurt him, he will always forgive you. You will always be forgiven. The only thing that will not be forgiven is unbelief, we are told. Jesus stressed all of this in his parable about the prodigal son, which means wayward or lost. No, I know. I know. We've heard this story so many times, we believe that we have squeezed it dry of meaning. Yet, I don't think we can hear its message often enough, especially when I repeatedly hear folks wondering if God could ever forgive them for some past sin. As we can recall, the youngest son of a father is restless and impatient for excitement and wild living, which he believes will bring him happiness. And so the young boy demands from his father that which he thought was rightfully his. Taking what would have been his inheritance, he then wastes it all on immoral living and ends up having to live and work in the mud feeding pigs. After having wandered from the path of honoring his father and doing what was right, which led to a life of misery, the young man comes to his senses and goes back home, figuring he could at the very least be safe and well-fed as one of his father's servants. Why a servant? Well, because there would be no way his father would forgive him, he figured. Of course, that's not what happens, is it? Jesus shocks his hearers by telling them that the father doesn't punish his son any further than his misdeeds had already made him suffer. Instead, the father embraces his son, kisses him, forgives him, and welcomes him home and throws a party. The boy was lost. He had wandered away, but now he had found his way back home. The message our Lord wanted to convey to us is clear. He loves us beyond what our understanding can comprehend. Yes, our mistakes and misdeeds will have consequences for us in this life, but they need not follow us after death. But we need to recognize our situation, and if we're wallowing in a mud pit of sin and unbelief, we need to get out and return to our Heavenly Father's house, where there is forgiveness and a party for repentant sinners, no less. I'm reminded of the story about a Sunday school teacher telling the story about the prodigal son to her class, and when she had finished, she asked, "Now, who could really be sad about the lost son finding his way back home?" And a little boy answered, "The fatted calf." I suppose we could also consider the older son who stayed home, but when we examine him, we will discover that he was just as lost, or even more so, than his younger brother, because the older boy refused to accept his father's will, and his brother saying that he was sorry. The older brother preferred justice to mercy, punishment rather than pardon. But let each of us thank the good Lord that he does forgive and forget. Let us praise him that he has set aside justice and punishment for the sake of his only son, Jesus, who willingly gave himself over to those two things so that we wouldn't have to. Knowing this, how can our natural response be anything but to shout and sing for joy? Let us give thanks to the Lord. Let us call on his name. Let us make him known among the nations what he has done, and let us proclaim that his name is exalted. Let us sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O people of God, for great is the Holy One who abides with us and who forgives us our sins, who welcomes all who were lost and who are now found. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses all human understanding, may guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord, forevermore. Amen.